الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So the next du'a that we're going to cover is that we learn from hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the du'a for when you look in the mirror. The du'a for when you look in the mirror. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this hadith is useful for all of us. We look in the mirror several times a day sometimes. And so the Prophet ﷺ taught us this hadith for whenever we look in the mirror. So we should try to bring it into our life as well. Now, the one caution is that when oftentimes the mirror that we're looking at is in the restroom, so just be a little careful. We don't want to take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, at least verbally, inside the restroom. So if it's outside the restroom, then certainly. Otherwise, you could just say it in your heart. So the dua is as follows. It starts with Alhamdulillah, Allahumma kama hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. Alhamdulillah, Allahumma kama hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. So this is it translates as roughly Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, kama hassanta khalqi, the way that you have perfected my creation, meaning, you know, my physical appearance. فَحَسِّنْ خُلُقِي, beautify or make excellent my character. So we begin with Alhamdulillah. And now we talked about Alhamdulillah, I think yesterday or 2 days ago. But this is, it roughly translates as all praises to Allah. And what we are doing here is we're reminding ourselves that, number one, all praise is due to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves all of our attention and all of our praise. And whatever is being reflected in the mirror itself is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. And in particular, when we're looking at ourselves in the mirror, everything that we're seeing, we're reminding ourselves that the reason I'm here, the reason I'm in existence, the reason I'm able to actually see what I'm looking at is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm indebted to Him because of that. The process involved, when you are, number one, for your face to be reflected onto the mirror, and then whatever is then going to be transmitted, I mean, it's a very complex process. Vision in general is very complicated. That number one, that the information that's present on that screen or on that mirror has to enter through your eyes, it has to display itself on your retina, and then from the retina there has to be a series of synapses that then cause the nerve to transmit information. That information is then crossed, it gets processed in the center of the brain called the thalamus, and then from there pathways go to the back of the brain. That then has to be processed in the occipital lobe, and then once that information is processed, then it goes either it goes to the top of the brain or to the bottom of the brain, and it helps you understand what is actually being visualized. And all of this is happening in a matter of not even milliseconds. All of this happening in a matter of milliseconds. So when you're looking at a reflection, when you're looking at anything, but in this case, when you're looking at your reflection, all of that is occurring without any effort on our own. This is Allah Ta'ala's creation. This is His magnificence. This is His majesty. All of this is occurring. So anytime we look at anything, we should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in particular, in this case, we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say Alhamdulillah first and foremost. And then we're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for creating us. When we're looking at a mirror or looking at our reflection, we're reminding ourselves that, look, I'm only in existence because of Allah. And the soul, my soul was breathed into me, into this body that I'm looking at because of Allah. There are physical bodies that no longer have life in it, right? They're sitting in the morgue, they're sitting in graves. There's no longer life in it. If you were to shine a mirror onto them, I mean, they're completely lifeless. But when we're looking at the mirror, there's life inside of us. Well, where did that life come from? that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anytime we look at ourselves. Then, كَمَا حَسَّنْتَ خَلْقِي, the way you beautified my my physical characteristics, my physical, you know, my outward appearance, you can say. My خَلْقِي literally means like your creation, but my creation in the sense of my physical appearance, the way you beautified my physical appearance. So what we learn from this is that every formation has been carefully designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every subtle feature of our face or of our body has carefully been designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very subtle. You know, imagine, you know, if somebody were to create a sculpture of our face or faces in general, a true sculpture, there's going to be deficits. There's no way that they're going to be able to, you know, create an exact replica. You know, sometimes these wax museums have as close as it gets, but obviously you can tell that this isn't real. But they do whatever they can. How much time and effort is put into one individual sculpture? You know, weeks, if not months, are put into trying to design one face. Now, how many children are born every single hour in the entire world? Right? And so think about it. Every single child that's being born, or every single child that's in the womb of their mother, their face is being designed and carefully drawn out for them. And this is all happening in just a matter of moments, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing this for hundreds or thousands of people every single day. And then that face has to evolve as well. The face has to evolve. It isn't that the way the child's face is, this is how a person's face is, you know, 30 years later. Number one, it evolves within the womb of the mother. If you look at, you know, ultrasound images of what an infant looks like when it's still in, what a fetus looks like, I mean, and by the time it comes out, there's substantial difference, right? Every few weeks, there's a difference in the way the face appears. Okay, then it comes out from the womb, and then the baby itself evolves, you know, every 2 months, every 3 months. What happens? You know, grandparents come over and they say, wow, he changed so much. Oh my goodness, she changed so much. All that's they're referring to the face predominantly. They change so much. 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, right? If you go for a period of time without seeing them, you say, wow. And you see them the next time, you say, wow, they change so much. Well, all of that has been carefully detailed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It isn't just occurring randomly. We aren't just aging on our own. Every molecule that's involved in the process of the evolution of our face, this is all architected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it doesn't stop. It continues all the way until old age. It continues all the way until a person who's 30 years old looks different than when they're 40, than when they're 50, when they're 60. There's never a time where your characteristics, the characteristics of your face, are not changing or not evolving. It's a continuous process, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is engaged in this entire process. So this is, when we're talking about beautification of the face, it isn't literally physical beauty in the sense of I'm attracted, but we should think beyond that. Beauty in the sense of how excellent the creation of the face in general is, and the evolution of how it evolves over time, how beautiful that is, how intricate it is. You know, if we were to focus on just, for instance, the eye, how beautiful the eye is, the components of the eye, when you really look close up into the eye and you look at the structures of the eye, even from the outside, right, the sclera, the pupil, the iris, I mean, everything is so perfectly designed. Some people have eyes that are black, some that are green, some that are gray, some that are brown. It's such a beautiful creation. I mean, entire textbooks and journals are dedicated to just the eye. And people are continuing to research how beautiful the eye is. And then there's the nose. And then there's the ears. I mean, and then the skin of the face. And no two people are alike. Right? Everyone is fashioned in a different way. There's a point where the mind wouldn't be able to think beyond that, but yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that capable that He can create every single face differently. I mean, even in this room, if we were to look at each other's faces, everyone's eyes are different, everyone's noses are different, everyone's mouth is different, everyone's ears are different. No one has the same, it's all different. This is just the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how He's beautified the human being, and if we were to really reflect upon this, we would be lost in reflection. So, كَمَا حَسَّنْتَ خَلْقِي, that not only is it the physical beauty that we think of as attraction with regards to the face, but even every subtlety of the face that if we were to really analyze, we would be perplexed by how subtle the creation of the face is. So, clearly the face has been beautified. Clearly the face has been beautified. So, كَمَا حَسَّنْتَ خَلْقِي. And interestingly, some people have deformities of the face. Even that has been carefully architected as well. We don't even neglect that. You know, maybe physically to us it doesn't appear to be beautiful, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who even designed what we would consider a deformity, we appreciate that as well, and the subtlety that goes into this. So, كَمَا حَسَّنْتَ خَلْقِي. Ya Allah, the way you beautified my face, that the not that Allah ta'ala required time and effort, but that the attention that of yours that was required so that my face could be as beautiful as it is. فَحَسَّنْ خُلُقِي. Make my character beautiful as well. Make my character beautiful as well. Because that's where beauty truly lies, in our character. And it's difficult to appreciate because I think as a society as a whole, we've become so focused on our external. There's such an emphasis on external beauty and just external anything, right? Outwardness. That we've neglected the importance of the character of our character. And this exists in our society today, but this existed, you know, for centuries and decades. I mean, this is why this hadith was there at the Prophet's time as well. Clearly, there's always been, human beings have always placed an emphasis on the outside, and we've neglected the inside. And this is a problem for us as a society, and even as individuals, that we focus so much on external, right? The clothes that we wear, the hairstyles that we keep and that we chase after. These aren't true marks of beauty. These are what we've created in our own minds, that this is beautiful. But if this was beautiful, then there would be some salience to it. It wouldn't be that hairstyles change every single week. It wouldn't be that, you know, clothing styles change every other year. There would be some salience to it. There would be some, it would over the course of, you know, millennia, it would persist if this was true beauty, right? But, you know, 1 week, you know, you shave your hair on the sides, and then 1 week you shave the sides of the head, and then this part is long, and then, you know, and then you, sometimes the style is that you push it all the way forward and you comb it up, and it's just, every few years it just changes. But how could you define beauty by something that is only transiently present? Beauty is there if it's salient, if it's there for a long period of time. That's how you would define beauty. You know, clothing for that matter. Clothing, every 5 or 10 years, inevitably clothing is going to change. But we place such a great emphasis on it. Our effort, our energy, our time, our money is focused on chasing after the fads of this world. But they evolve so quickly. And in fact, if you were to look at people that were dressed, you know, you look at the clothing that people wore 15 years ago, you'd laugh. You know, when I was in high school, and you know, for instance, the clothing that, you know, the people were into at the time, I mean, myself included, we were all a part of it. You'd laugh if you saw the types of styles. I remember there was one style where, like, maybe it was before, maybe it was 20 years ago, but you'd wear a belt, and then the end of the belt, you'd just hang down your pants, like the outside of it. Some of you might remember that. That was the style. Now, if you were in, I don't think that's a style now. Is it the style now? Yeah, you'd laugh at it. You'd laugh. You'd like, put your belt back in its socket where it's supposed to go. Why are you letting it drag down? It doesn't make sense. And then there was another style where you'd tuck in the front of your shirt and you'd leave out the back of your shirt. That doesn't even make any sense. Either tuck it in or keep it out. But, I mean, now we laugh at it. But back then, that was the craze. Everyone was doing this. Everyone was so fixated on an outward appearance, and we still are, and that was the style of the time, and now you look back and you laugh. And I can guarantee you that the way we chase after our clothing today, 15 years from now, everyone's going to be laughing at it. They'd be like, are you crazy? What were you guys thinking? What were you guys thinking? So we place such an emphasis on something that's just passing anyway. Such an emphasis on something that's passing anyway. So this applies to everything. Our clothing, it applies to anything outward, right? Our clothing, our hairstyles, our apparel, whatever it might be. So we get caught up in all of this. You know, we've emphasized, you know, quote unquote, good looks and clothes and hairstyles, and it causes a lot of problems. I mean, we don't see it, but then they come to the clinic, and this is an issue. There are people that have, you know, body dysmorphic disorder, and it's exacerbated by this, that they're so obsessed with their physical appearance. Part of it is this inherently within them, but then when it's so emphasized by a society, then they feel so imperfect that then it becomes a disease, and then it leads to social avoidance and emotional stress. I mean, who's going to address these problems? You know, anorexia and bulimia, these are conditions that have that are exacerbated by this sort of a culture that we perpetuate and propagate, right? And these are real problems that people suffer from, and we're contributing to this by focusing on the external. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us through this that, okay, we're not going to neglect that the external has its beauty, right? It's not that, you know, Ya Allah, make my external appearance ugly, or make it hideous. We're recognizing that there is beauty to it. There's beauty in it, primarily because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it, and what Allah ta'ala created is beautiful. But also because in general, we appreciate beauty. Allah ta'ala says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allaha jamilun yuhibbul jamal," that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful and He loves beauty. He likes beauty, so we appreciate that. We don't downplay that. But the Prophet ﷺ is highlighting that we're not downplaying it, but in the same way that we tend to focus, in the same way that we tend to think about our outward beauty, or in the same way that Allah Ta'ala perfected our outward beauty, we ask that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala perfect our inward character as well. And character is character is really what defines the human being. Now, the Prophet ﷺ had exemplified character. And it said about the Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that his character is at an exalted or at an elevated level. And we should seek to strive, we should seek to follow or learn from the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His character was so superb that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said about it, that if you want to know the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, his character was the Qur'an. If you wanted to see a Qur'an that was walking and talking, and all of the values that are taught in the Qur'an of mercy and compassion and spreading and forgiving, etc., well, this was all present in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the walking, talking Qur'an. And it comes in hadith, narrated in Bukhari and Muslim, that Jabir radiallahu anhu, he says that it had never happened that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ever asked for anything, and he said no. It never occurred that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ever asked for anything, and he said no. This is our role model. This is character exemplified. It comes in another hadith. Abdullah bin Jafar radiallahu anhu, he narrates that once the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to an orchard that was owned by a companion from the Ansar. And there was a camel there, and that camel was groaning, and it was groaning, and it when it saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it began to shed tears. It was a camel. It was groaning. It's, you know, the ulama say it was groaning like it had lost its children, like that sort of pain. It was in that kind of pain, and it was and the camel began to cry when it saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet ﷺ went to the camel and he stroked the head of the camel very gently and he calmed it down. And then he asked, "Whose camel is it? Whose camel is this?" And then a young fatan is the word that's used, so like an adolescent or maybe a young man from the Ansar came and he said that it belonged to him. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him, he said, "Do you not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In particular, in respect," and he said, in respect to this poor animal who submitted itself to you. He allowed you to become its master or its owner. Do you not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to this poor animal?" You know, and he said, the camels complained to me that you keep it hungry and you've been taking too much work for it. This was a compassion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was his character exemplified. He embodied the Quran and the teachings of the Quran. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly had perfect, beautiful character, exalted character, khuluqin azim, right? An elevated level of status when it comes to character. And so we too are reminded that, well, our character should be of the same way as well. Now, many a times we don't ask for, We don't necessarily consciously ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perfect our character, but now we have the opportunity that whenever we look in the mirror, and there's one in the back, then all of us are, you know, looking and checking ourselves out in the back before we come for salah and things. Anytime we look at ourselves in the mirror, we should recite this dua. And then inshallah, through this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us in perfecting our character. So again, the dua is Allahumma. So we begin by saying Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah. This is what the narration says. Alhamdulillah, Allahumma, O Allah, kama hassanta khalqi, the way you beautified my creation, my physical creation, hassin khuluqi, make perfect or make excellent my character as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfect our character or allow us to perfect our character or make it as perfect as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless us and keep us beautiful both from the outside and from the inside. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.